Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good Wednesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are taking you all the way up to 6:15 tonight. We're off just a little bit early.
A smidge.
15 minutes shorter today than normal because Georgetown basketball playing in the Big East tournament will be heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. We've got tickets to see Tom Papa at Warner Theater. You can win those at 3. We've got tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby. You can win those at 4 today right here on The Fan. So in 1 and 2 hours, get those dialing fingers ready. Danny, top of the afternoon.
Day of the year candidate so far, right? Just perfect outside, oot and a boot. I love it. These are the days that make you remember. It's not always like this. So take a little mental note, little mental picture, and remember them the next time you're miserable, which we'll probably be knowing this area tomorrow or like Saturday.
The weather was so nice that I had one of the great pain in the butt situations that can happen in your life. Mm-hmm. Unfold this morning, and I'm still in a good mood. Like, that's how nice weather is. I walked outside to find my tire having no air in it.
Oh, that's, you want air in there.
Completely dead. Had to go over to Alban Tire today. My guy Keith McMichael and his crew over there, who always take good care of me.
Connor's brother.
They found a nail right in the tire. Never good.
Who put that there?
Not
sure.
Who
did it?
The good news, Danny Rouillet.
Mm-hmm.
You want it right in the center of the tire, not on the side of the tire? It was right smack
center
dab in
cut.
The center.
It wasn't one of those like sideways or clipped. No. Right in the middle.
That's a patch job.
Yeah.
That's a couple of bucks, and we are out the door, and our tire is no longer an issue. So I feel like I texted my wife. I said, I fixed my tire. She's like, you did? And I said, yeah, I fixed it. She's like, how? I said, I took it to the tire place.
Ah, I see. There's a semantics.
And I sat there and I paid.
The adult professional.
Individuals with skills and hands with like calluses and stuff.
Yeah.
People who can do things. I paid them money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, your car is ready for you.
You fixed it.
Fixer boy. Mr. Fixer Upper.
Did she give you a little Eric Flack for that? For claiming
no,
you fixed it?
She was very proud of me.
Oh, nice. Right on.
She didn't really ask many follow-ups. She's like, wow, good job. And I took that credit. I said, thank you. I'm the
Ran
best.
With it down the field like Brian Mitchell returning a punt.
All the way to the house, man. 98 yards to the crib, B. Mitch style. So we're 1-for-1 today. We fixed the tire. Now we got to do a radio show. Commanders up to 13 free agents that they have added since last week, if you count Jeremy Reeves. Reeves is the first guy that they have retained who hit the market who's one of their own. That's pretty telling, isn't it? They were 0-4 the entire lot of their players hitting the market, not re-signing them and keeping them around after studying the film. Jeremy Reeves was a first-team All-Pro last year. This past season in Week 5, he tore his ACL. He was off to another good start. He's one of the best special teams coverage aces in the National Football League. And so Peters and company studied the tape and said, we want to keep this guy. So for the first time, they are bringing a player back. He actually predates the Rivera era. Jeremy Reeves does, I believe. But to Ron Rivera's credit, he kept him around. They extended him. He flourished under Rivera. So Washington up to 13 free agent signings, and for the first time, paying one of their own
to stay. Yeah, three different regimes now for Jeremy Reeves, right? Where he's hung around and everything he's ever been asked to do, coming off of injury, still, you know, makes that quality impression with this new group as well. It's a credit to the player. But I think you touched on the most salient point here. The fact that so few of their own guys, put that in quotation marks, are coming back or they seem to have any interest. Now, it may happen that Kendall Fuller's marketplace doesn't materialize and they could get him cheaper than maybe you thought, or who knows what happens from here on out. But there hasn't been much urgency to bring back the Cody Bartons, Cornelius Lucases, the David Bottas, the Charles Lenos and company. They moved on from those guys very, very quickly without much thought, basically saying, don't worry, we'll do better.
Another, I'd say, notable element of free agency as far as what Washington's losing. Antonio Gibson got signed pretty quickly by the Patriots. They liked what they saw. New England, big fan of the 2023 Commanders, apparently, who went to New England and got a big win because they also signed Jacoby Brissett. But otherwise, it's a lot of guys that are just waiting by their phones right now. I mean, that tells you a lot, too. Cam Curl, people were saying months ago, he's going to get $14, $15 million. Look, who knows? The safety market is flooded. I think he'd be doing pretty well to get 10 as an AAV right now, but maybe he's in that 10, 11 range if
things go well. Yeah, landscape has changed from what we thought.
I think he's probably going to get something like $8, $9, $10 million, but he hasn't found a home. Kendall Fuller is considered the best remaining cornerback on the market. The wide receiver crop is just completely dormant right now. Nothing is happening with wide receivers. I think that's a reflection of just how much teams love the draft class that's coming up at receiver. But Curtis Samuel, the best of the rest for Washington, and then the rest of their guys like Casey Tuhill, James Smith-Williams, F.A. Obata coming off injury. Sadiq Charles, I guess, did get a $2 million deal last night. So you throw him into the pile. He's the third guy to get paid among their free agent class.
But yeah, I think the point stands, right? The idea that you're widely filling out just in the first 48 hours of free agency, 20% of the roster will be different via new free agents. And it's not as if it's nothing but marquee guys. They didn't go and get, you know, the top guy at every position. They got people that they like. There'll be upgrades in most of the spots. Only a couple guys are here by design for more than a year or two. So it's, again, just such an indictment over the previous regime and their inability to pair acceptable players with the frontline guys, the guys like John Allen, the guys like Daron Payne, Terry McLaurin, and company. It was an absolute abject failure.
I was thinking that the special teams stalwarts would look completely different when the year began. Keeping Reeves around changes that a little bit. Because you think about it, Tress Way is the last man standing, the longest tenured player on the team. But in the special teams room, they've got a new long snapper as of yesterday, Tyler Ott. They've got a new kicker in Brandon McManus that they're paying $3.6 million. If Reeves would have walked, then your special teams captain and your ace cover guy would have been new as well. So really, you have like four, what I would consider to be your traditional like main special teams core guys. Three of the four would have been brand new with their new special teams coach, Larry Izzo. But keeping Reeves around with Tress Way, but keep some familiarity in that room. More on the NFL and what's going on. A couple of big moves in free agency today will hit outside of D.C. We'll take a national look at things in just a minute. I did want to crowbar in the Nats really quickly. Interesting couple of moves here for them today. So most notably, they announced that Carter Kieboom has been cleared outright on the waivers process. We didn't know they had put him on waivers, but he has. Not just been placed on waivers, but gotten through them. And now he's sent to AAA, which means he's off their 40-man roster. So they were at 40, now they're down to 39. Really, they're down to 38 because Steven Strasburg takes up one of those spots and he will never pitch again because they're in the middle of this continued stare down with Scott Boras over Strasburg's situation. But they now have a roster spot, and I think the idea that's percolating among those that follow the Nats and their media core is, could something be cooking here? What's Mike Rizzo got up his sleeve? Why are you sending Kieboom down, risking losing him, knocking him off the 40-man roster, unless you've got a plan for that roster spot? Could be internal. Maybe one of your prospects gets added or something like that. But it also could be external, where they could be signing someone and bringing them into camp.
Sure, there's always a corresponding move, right? This isn't just done in a vacuum. It's not just to say, we're mad at Carter Kieboom. We're kicking him down. I mean, I think they're probably not counting on him developing into the player that they drafted so many years ago. And I think they've moved on in that way. He'd have to work his way really, really hard to kind of get back into their plans.
He was a first-round pick.
He was a first-rounder, dude. And at times, showed some signs, whether it's Arizona Fall League, whether it's some minor league runs. He looked like a guy that may be able to do it. I just, at the major league level, just never looked right. Never looked like he belonged.
His career major league batting average right now, 133 games, about 500 plate appearances. So a little shy of a full major league season, but well over a half of a year. You know, basically like three quarters of a season's worth of experience now. 199 career batting average for Carter Kieboom and 12 home runs. Now, if you're hitting for immense power, and that was the idea when he was drafted, out of a Georgia high school with the 28th pick is a guy out of Walton High School in Marietta, Georgia, who'd won some home run derbies nationally as a high school prep star. But if he was hitting for big-time power, 199 doesn't play. But, you know, there's years in there where you can hit 230, 240, something like that. But it's never been a lot of power. The extra base hits, the damage swings just haven't been there. And so, yeah, I'd say it's gotten late early for him. I was thinking about him actually while we were at spring training. I don't know if it was you that I was talking to or somebody else, but maybe it was Rhino or Darris, but we were in the clubhouse and I was saying, God, that's got to feel lonely. You're 26 years old. He's in a corner of the clubhouse. Just imagine this. For most of you guys obviously don't know what the clubhouse situation's like, but the corner of the clubhouse where he is, he used to be with Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, that whole group of guys, right, in terms of infielders. And they put him over there because at that time, he was the hot prospect.
Yeah, you want the mentorship from the guys that are doing it in their mid-20s where they go, I am so close to being that guy.
They're all gone now. It's like him and Ildemar Vargas in that corner with Joey Gallo. But when you walk in, the other side of the clubhouse is all of the high-end prospects.
It's Brady House, Dylan Cruz, Robert Hassel, James Wood, Trey Lipscomb, all right in a row right there. And it's like, oh. This is the cool corner right now.
And I just thought about it. I'm like, man, it's got to be so weird to be him because you're now at 26 kind of thinking, this is not going to happen for me maybe. And you got all these guys chasing you who have surpassed you in the organizational pecking order. But today, officially, you know, they send him down. So I'll keep my fingers crossed he can get his career on track and end up helping them in the big leagues. But here's the corresponding note, I would say. We don't know what the move's going to be. Trey Lipscomb is in the lineup today. He's a third-round pick out of Tennessee, who can play every position in the infield. He's played first, second, short, and third in the minor leagues. Was the Gold Glove Award winner in the minor leagues for the Nats last year. Base hit in his first at-bat today. His spring batting average is now .393. He's 11 for 28. We talked to him at spring training, and you'll hear that interview on a brand-new episode of Bustin' Loose Baseball, which will be available for you tomorrow morning, but Trey Lipscomb, at 23 years old from Frederick, Maryland, I don't think he's going to make the opening day roster, but he's sure making it hella difficult for them to send him down at this point.
All he's done is play really well at every level he's been at. So he initially wasn't thought, I mean, obviously, good prospect, you're drafting in the third round, you're not a slouch, but wasn't the first or second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth name people would mention when you talk about this Nationals restock. All he's done is perform well. Dude, he looks the part. You mentioned all the position of versatility, paging Ron Rivera. But he can do everything. There's nothing he can't do on a baseball field right now. He is a really good athlete. Seems to be like a really good dude with his head on straight, just grinding, working, kind of, you know, keeps out kicking expectations. That's somebody to watch.
Speaking of somebody to watch, I want to pivot back to the NFL with you here for some news and notes on free agency. 8 minutes ago, Adam Schefter tweeted that the Chargers are releasing wide receiver Mike Williams. Mike Williams was a first-round draft pick by the Chargers in 2017, and their head coach at the time was Anthony Lynn, who's now the run game coordinator and the running backs coach in D.C. Most of the moves that the Commanders have made so far in free agency, there has been a very obvious correlation between the player they're bringing in and one of the coaches on the staff where they had linked up previously in a spot before Washington. Including, by the way, Eckler coming over from the Chargers with familiarity with Lynn, who he played for. Mike Williams is hurt all the time. He played just 3 games last year. He missed 4 games in 2022. Oddly, he only missed 1 game in 2021, but he was banged up for a lot of the year. that season, when he played in 16 games, he went for 1,150 yards and 70 catches. I am of the belief that the Commanders need another wide receiver. I don't know where you're at on that. Terry McLaurin's outstanding, but I would love to be in a situation where instead of running kind of their X vertical explosive routes as like their true number one, they kick him over to Z to do some of the crossers and the digs and the middle of the field stuff, and you bring someone else in who can kind of stretch the field a little bit on the outside opposite him. More importantly, it would kick Jahan Dotson into the slot, where I think maybe you could get him back on track. I'm not saying Williams is the perfect fit. He's 29 years old, and with all the tread on the tires and the injury history, maybe he's not a guy they'd be interested in. I am saying they got a coach who knows him well, and that seems to matter a lot to them. But two-parter here, thoughts on the Williams release and whether it's relevant to Washington. And as far as the number 7 overall pick goes, do you think the Commanders have a large need at receiver, or is it just something minor that if they get one, fine?
I would love one. I think they need a left tackle. I think they need a cornerback. I think it would be really good if they got another receiver. You follow me? Like, it's if I'm filling out my shopping list and my shopping cart's full, I go, damn, I have to come back. If I still got some room, you put a stuff a receiver in there, like we're on supermarket sweep.
Are those things related at all?
How do you mean?
Well, of course they need a left tackle. They don't have one. Like, that's the biggest need on the team. And of course they need a cornerback. Their number one guy is Benjamin St. Juste. Those are their two biggest needs. You're quantifying, I guess, that receiver's not as big a need, which I think is obvious because you got McLaurin, you got a first-round pick in Dotson, and De'Ami Brown, a third-round pick. I mean, there's still some depth there, obviously. Mm-hmm. But is it related to say, well, they need these other things? They got $65 million still to spend, according to Over the Cap. They don't have one or two draft picks where it's like, you got to draft a left tackle or you have to draft a corner because you only have two picks. You can do all three of those things.
That's fair.
As a standalone conversation, how big of a priority should they make receiver this offseason?
It's a great question. So I see where you're going with it. So to me, I'm going, I need one more weapon. If that's an excellent tight end, I can live with an okay second receiver. If it's an excellent receiver, I'll deal with having, you know, just an okay tight end. I need one more. However you want to do it is fine. Whatever kind of offense you want, whatever Kingsbury wants to do, good by me. I need one more weapon in that passing game.
I think that's a great point. Here's what I've found myself thinking a lot. I'll throw this out to you. I feel like they're going to operate in 11 personnel a ton, meaning three wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to operate in spread with four wide receivers plenty. Now, Eckler's probably going to be one of those guys, or Ertz maybe you split out, you know, in the slot. And so it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have actual traditional wide receivers, to your point. If you draft Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, a tight end, he's a weapon and you can put him out wide. But does your interest change at all? I found myself more hungry and more interested in going wide out because of the Kingsbury element, because I think they're going to operate with extra guys out wide a lot.
Yep.
You know, whereas like a loading up on tight ends, if Arthur Smith was hired as their offensive coordinator, would be more important. And I want to do both, for the record. I want to add a weapon at wideout, add a weapon at tight end, because I'm just not sold on Ertz at this point of his career. I think he's kind of what Logan Thomas was last year, not what Logan Thomas was as a 70-catch guy in 2020. But am I overthinking it to say,
not at all,
with Kingsbury, receivers should get bumped up a little bit? I don't know what to make of Jahan Dotson anymore. I really like him.
Yeah.
But I was so loud wrong.
We all saw what happened.
I owe every person listening an apology. I had you draft the guy in fantasy. I told you he was going to lead the team in catches. I mean, I thought he was going to have a monster season. I don't think I've been more wrong about anything with this football team in the last 5 years than I was about Jahan Dotson last
year. Yeah, same here. I'm wearing that cologne. I like your thought process. Here's where I come at it, and I want to see what you think. I get to the same conclusion. I want another weapon because they have a young quarterback. I want another weapon.
That's my whole point, yeah.
Not necessarily because of Kingsbury. I think if this goes well, he's gone in a year or two. So I care a little bit less about his specific system.
Wouldn't you hope that they would keep his offense? Isn't that why you layered it with Johnson and Blau and these guys?
Sure, that's the idea, I suppose. But, you know, maybe he takes Blau as his OC when he goes somewhere. I mean, you can do your best to keep guys and layer talent, which I think they've done a good job of, but you never know. You could do the best you can to keep everybody. To me, this is more, I cannot do the thing that they've done so many times where, okay, we got a young quarterback, congratulations to us. No. Surround that dude with endless weapons. Make it as easy as possible for him in the hopes that one day he can carry you and you don't need all those guys. You don't start off as Pat Mahomes. You got to get to that level, right?
3 o'clock today, which is when we've got those Tom Papa tickets for somebody to win. Trevor Sikkema of PFF is going to join us. He is not only one of their draft experts when I ask him about the number two pick, but also has strong thoughts on the free agency class Washington's put together so far. So we'll talk to him about that coming up in about 40 minutes. But next, Danny, let's hand out a letter grade to what Peters and company have done over the first two-plus days of free agency. How do we feel about the 12-player haul seemingly on the cheap? Again, over the cap says they still have over $60 million to spend in salary cap space. And we can pose that question to you guys as well on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. Grade, letter grade style, what Peters and his new front office have done in free agency. Jeremy Reeves brought back today, so 13 agreements, soon to be signings with the league year officially starting in a couple of hours. You're listening to The Fan. G&D on The Fan, taking you to 6:15 tonight. Hoyas basketball, Big East tournament action right here on The Fan at that time. Got Trevor Sikkema of PFF stopping by to tell you what he thinks the Commanders should do with the number two overall pick and what they should get for Sam Howell if they shop him. Is that something they should even be considering doing? We'll talk to Trevor Sikkema about that coming up in about 30 minutes. Danny, it is time to grade the free agency haul to this point. We have, I think, finally kind of caught our breath. There was a transaction every few hours from the start of free agency through the end of our show yesterday, and it seems like Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, and the rest of the staff, maybe they went out to dinner. They spent a little time with their families this morning. They have started to settle into
like a, okay.
Wave one is over. We'll get back to work in due time. But officially, it's 13 moves, starting with Ertz last week. 12 new Commanders signed, counting Ertz. And now the 13th is Jeremy Reeves being brought back. That was this afternoon, a two-year deal. So give me a letter grade.
For the record, I just posted a poll on the internet. Something that we're want to do here on this program, at Funny Danny on Elon's app. A has 50% of the votes. B has 45% of the votes. C and D are lower. You can do the math there. Has combined for very little percentage points. People are pretty happy with how free agency has gone. I reflect that as well. It's a B plus for me. I would feel a little bit better if another one of these placeholders, because that's, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't know another way to kind of put it. These guys that aren't signed to long-term deals, I'd feel a little bit better if there was a placeholder, a tackle. If that happened, I would go, okay, they did it. Now they're under no pressure. They can maneuver around the draft board as they want. They can look ahead for a year, 2 years, figure out when they're going to supplement and fill in all these holes. I'd feel a little bit better if that was the case, but B plus for me. I'm very, very happy, very solid.
I'm going to go B minus. The lack of true impact guy is probably where I'm at. B minus is going to reflect that they went out and they got a bunch of guys that I think will contribute, that I think are upgrades. They spent money. They did what I wanted them to do. They made their football team better, something right. that the last group refused to do on the first couple days of free agency.
I think that's the thing. Where obviously they acknowledged that this is a pretty sorry state of a roster, right? They knew that. There are a couple guys that are here. They're going to be here, I think, and sort of that's that. But now they kind of went and said, you know what? We don't want to do a thing where we're tied to guys that are, for the sake of argument, fives or sixes out of 10 for two, three, four, five seasons to help us, but to help us do what? Right now, these guys, a lot of them, again, I think that they're the few three-year deal guys, I think they envision being starters here for pretty much that duration of the time.
Right?
And that's regardless of draft, regardless of otherwise, so they sort of looked at their options. I think everyone else, though, is there just to keep a seat warm for a younger player to be named later.
You fixed the defensive end problem where there was urgency. Now, that does not mean you have a great starter. Thank you, Darius. He's giving me some cough drops.
Yeah.
Booking your boy.
Like we're looking at each other going, I can't really help you. I don't have a voice.
Which one of us was out without a voice this week?
I know. Good God
you
almighty.
Or me.
What's funny is
we were just talking about our voices in the break, literally. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the best my voice has felt for 2 months. And then I just shouldn't have said anything.
You sound like
I came back in
Linda Richmond on SNL.
Immediately start losing my voice mid-sentence. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. It's been since December 27th.
Yep.
So we've both been visiting ENTs. I don't know. Can we investigate the pipes in this room? Can we, look in the vents?
I know you're doing a little bit of shtick. I firmly believe it. Oh my God, Danny's being a jokey man on the radio.
The junks aren't having the same issues.
Well, Eric Bickle, look at that microphone cover, for God's sakes. That is phlegm. That is saliva. That is years of Eric Bickle wearing that thing out. Everybody's sick all the time. If you're vulnerable, like I know I am, I got a bad system. I got it first. I'm in here getting laryngitis every 5 minutes.
You love laryngitis.
It's my favorite. I get it all the time.
B minus. And just to reiterate, hopefully I can get through it this time. I think that by going from 5 starts at defensive end career in your room to 106, they did a good thing. They added depth. It's not a desperate area of need now. Dante Fowler can get you 5 or 6 sacks. I think Dorrance Armstrong is going to get them 8.5, 9.5 sacks. Cleland Farrell can get you 3, 3.5 sacks and play 45% of snaps or something for you. All 3 of those guys, I think, will be on the team as part of a room where they have, 5 defensive ends. Maybe one of them is yet to be added to the roster, and they still draft one. But you fixed your long snapper issue, check. You've added your kicker, check. You brought in your pass-catching running back and third down guy who can pick up blitzes and pass pro, check. You added a starting center. So they've made enough headway. There's enough starters here. You are better at tight end, in my opinion, or equal, maybe, but after cutting Thomas to save money because, you're not spending as much, it's probably better to have similar talent on the cheaper. So I can't give them an average grade. They've been very active. They've made a lot of moves. They've gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. And there are scoring sites that show, based on wins above replacement and expectations, like who's improved the most. And not surprisingly, when it's been 2 days and you've signed 12 players, Washington is number 2 on that list.
Yeah, you're picking second in the draft. There's room to go up.
True. But also, you've added 12 players. Doesn't matter if you're the first pick or the 32nd pick. That's going to happen. Only the Falcons, who added a starting quarterback, have improved their team more according to some of those metrics. But for all those reasons, I'm going to say B-. If you're asking why not an A, there's no Pro Bowler, in my opinion. There's certainly not an All-Pro. There's no one who's a star. I probably would have liked to have gotten 1 or 2 of those guys with all the money they had. And while I'm a big Frankie Louvu guy, I think he has a chance to be really, really good. I think these are mostly floor moves, not ceiling moves. A lot of these moves make sure that you're not picking second and winning 3 or 4 games. Very few of these moves are actually going to help you get to being an 11 or 12 win team, which is obviously this offseason not necessarily the goal. Let's go to the phones and see what you guys think. 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, letter grade for Peters and Company through a couple days of free agency. Paul's in D.C. What's up, Paul?
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I do a simulation mock draft thing. I got frustrated because it wasn't real. But when I was doing it, the one thing I was doing is that I had to draft everywhere because we need everything. And that's why I come right back to this letter grade. I give it a B or B plus because they are basically effectively trying to get to every single area that we have, because you already know, man, we just about that roster, man, was in terrible shape. I know y'all talk about it all the time, but I'll give them a B, man, but I'm still waiting for some more things to come, though.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah,
appreciate it, dude.
Let's go to Shane in Oxon Hill. Shane, we're looking for your letter grade for the free agency haul for Peters so far.
What's going on, fellas? I'm going D, man. I'm going D. First and foremost, I feel like, of course, we signed because this is a need. That's what you do when you need to fill out a roster. I'm looking for a production, though. When I sign a football player, I'm looking to get the best guys that I could possibly get. There's no way you're going to tell me that Jeremy Chinn is better than Cam Curl. And the safety market predicates that it's not going to be a great big signer for Cam Curl. I don't think Arthur Eckler is better than Antonio Gibson. Gibson's younger. You know, of course, back in the day, Eklund might have been, but I just don't like a lot of the signers, man. I think we got Ertz, has been guys. I like the Luru, and I like the center that we got, Tyler. And I like Dorrance Armstrong because they're young, up and coming. But signing all these others, I didn't even think we needed a running back. Why even spend on a running back?
Well, they needed a pass-catching running back.
Appreciate you, dude.
There's no doubt about that, and we'll disagree. If you don't think Austin Eckler is a more proven, better pass-catching running back than Antonio Gibson, like the idea of Gibson was always better than the production, and I hope New England uses him better than Washington did. But last year, if you look at yards after the catch over expected, super nerdy stat, follow me for a second, right? So this is yak, that's an easy one. How many yards do you get after the catch? But that weren't there at the moment of the reception that you basically created, let's say. So with chip data, we can tell, based on where the defender is, based on where the back is, how many yards you should have gotten before they tackled you. So the stat measures the extra yards by breaking a tackle or making someone miss or by being smart and taking a good angle in the open field, like how many yards you get. Austin Eckler was third in the National Football League in that stat last year, behind Rashad White of the Bucs, young, flourishing running back, and Kenneth Walker of Seattle, young, up-and-coming running back. He's number one in the league since 2018. You're going to have a kid quarterback to bring someone in here who's twice caught 90 passes and three times caught 70 passes. I can't get with you to say that's a downgrade from Antonio Gibson. Chin versus curl, I think, is a better conversation for you.
Fraction of the cost, but yeah, I think that's a great convo. It's different schemes, but just one quick point, if I may, on Eckler. He's going to make less than Nick Allegretti. He's going to make less than Tressway against the cap. Easily get outable. Is that a phrase that we can use? You can use a get out of the deal next year. So it's not as if they went out and spent big free agency money on a running back. I'm with it. If it was a $9, $10 million cap, it, I'd kind of go, I'm not really sure that's the smartest thing to do. He's making less than their punter. Like, we're fine.
What letter grade are you giving the new GM, Adam Peters, and his crew? That is the question on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Game. A bootleg. Fields looking for the corner. He's got it. And the Bears have an opening drive touchdown.
Joe Davis of Fox on the call of a Justin Fields touchdown pass for the Chicago Bears. Where is Justin Fields going to end up? Before the start of free agency, Danny, I actually put together my five burning questions. We went through them on the show a few days ago when you were out. One of the few remaining questions, is where's Kirk Cousins going to go? Which team's going to be the big spender early on day one? Those types of things. We've gotten answers to most of those questions. We're now at a point, though, where trying to find a home for Justin Fields is becoming increasingly difficult. Where the heck is he going to end up? The market for him is bone dry.
I'm really surprised that it's gone this way. Not because, maybe partly, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, for the sake of argument, has Chicago been unrealistic in demands? Have they been dragging their heels on this? Have other teams gone, you know what? It's, if we're going to use a draft pick, which you would do in trade compensation, why don't we use it on a rookie? Why don't we use it on an actual draft pick so we get all the years entirely possible? We don't want to give up anything. Or we prefer a different system, different style, different, maybe somebody more proven. I mean, Atlanta was the spot. I thought that's where he was going. Nope, that's a Kirk Cousins destination. So you could see Minnesota wasn't interested in reshaping their offense. They got a poor man's version of Cousins to try to sling it around to Justin Jefferson and company. I don't know the answer anymore. My best nominees are all off the board.
Go through the teams right now that have questions at quarterback or would be in the bucket of, I could see them needing one. All right, AFC East, you've got Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Aaron Rodgers coming off of the Achilles, but he'll be ready. And then the Patriots are the first team you get to that needs a quarterback. But they're picking at three.
They're three.
And they just signed Jacoby Brissett for several million bucks. So I would say that takes them out of the Fields conversation. By the way, that was a team that a lot of people thought made some sense for him. If they wanted to take Marvin Harrison Jr., let's say at three, or trade back and get a King's ransom, they could have acquired Fields, given him a shot, kicked the tires for a year, and seen what's what. I think the decision they made, and Washington is making, speaks to this is the year if you want a quarterback where you want to be taking one early. Not next year.
Mm-hmm.
2 years from now, it's too hard to predict what happens down the road. But you're thinking a year out probably, and Washington knows, New England knows, we got a pretty good chance to get a stud prospect. It's a crapshoot. 50-50 chance they turn into being a star. I think the teams know that. There's enough years of botches at the top of the draft to know that what a guy looks like before the draft and how they play afterwards are not always the same. But this class compared to next year is night and day. So then you go to the AFC North. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, and Joe Burrow. The Steelers are another team that could have traded for Justin Fields. I actually would have done that over signing Russell Wilson, as crazy as that sounds. And a lot of people have hated my take that I don't like the fit for the Steelers and Wilson. The money is nothing. That makes great sense. You're paying nothing. You're getting a veteran. The problem to me is Wilson is declining. You know what he is. There's no upside there. It's quarterback purgatory. Whereas at least with Fields, I'm not a big Fields fan. You know that. I've not been a big fan since the beginning. But there is potential. There is upside that he could be the answer. Russell Wilson is unequivocally not. So all you're doing, if you're the Steelers, by bringing him in for a year, maybe you have a winning record. I don't think you have a chance in the AFC to make a deep playoff run. You're just kicking the can down the road a year. You still need a quarterback, but you're not going to be drafting high enough to get one probably because you brought in Russell Wilson. You're going to play good defense. Mike Tomlin's a heck of a coach. Whereas if you go get Fields, it's very possible that you're bad enough that you're in quarterback range next year. Or the flip side is maybe he plays really well and you find out he's okay. So I would have, if I was the Steelers, weirdly enough, preferred to pay Fields a little more than they paid Wilson and just kick the tires on a rookie contract young guy.
I'm actually with you on that, but Pittsburgh doesn't do that. They don't operate the way that we do, and the results have been, honestly, pretty favorable in their regard. Even
kind
last
of,
year when
they haven't won a playoff game in like 8 years.
Well, that's fair, but they were still 10-7 last year, despite, without, I don't have another way to say this, but they were awful.
But they're
and they
not
were 10-7.
Going anywhere. I mean,
no.
They are spinning their tires. They are, like, Mike Tomlin makes what is kind of an 8-win roster every year. 9, 10, 11 wins good, but they are not a threat,
not a threat
in any way in that conference. And if people are content getting to playoffs 10-7, just kind of being around, okay, keep doing it. But I am of the belief you're either great or you're trying to be great, and I think what they did just kind of sets them up for more of whatever this is. AFC South, C.J. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, they traded for Mac Jones to back him up, which was kind of odd, 6th-round pick there. Anthony Richardson comes back to join the Colts, who have lost Gardner Minshew, and then the Titans are rolling with Will Levis.
Titans are interesting.
Would you have him compete with Levis, who you just drafted in the second round and flashed a bunch last season? I'm not the biggest Levis fan, but I mean, he played well enough that he should.
He had a couple nights.
First year with a new head coach, he should get a chance to start.
I would, but I'm just saying. I mean, they've basically, it's felt like they've been net losers over the last several seasons, right? Everyone from A.J. Brown, now the exodus of Henry and company, their identity's kind of turning over. Maybe they're intriguing there, but I'd probably just roll with Levis. But just again, I'm trying to think of a spot.
Unless the Colts know that Richardson's recovery isn't going well or he's not going to be ready, they don't make any sense. I'll disagree on the Titans. I think you've got Levis, you've got Malik Willis behind him. Like, they have two drafted guys that they've sunk a second, I think, in Levis's case, and a third-round pick into in Malik Willis's case. AFC West, Mahomes, Raiders are very interesting.
Aiden O'Connell.
Broncos, there's one, and the Chargers with Herbert. So Raiders, Broncos. I think both of those teams are in the same bucket as Minnesota where they could trade up for a QB and take McCarthy back into the top five. They want to go way up to 3 with New England or 2 with Washington.
Because they're 12 and 13 in the draft, respectively, Denver and the Raiders.
And I think Minnesota's 11. Teams are could absolutely trade up to get a QB.
And so maybe that's a spot. If you don't want to pay the ransom, move up that you know, top 4, maybe top 5, just depends on what people think of McCarthy.
But can you do that now? Can you bring in Fields now? And if your goal is to trade up or to get a quarterback in the class, like if you get Bo Nix, maybe you sit in behind Fields to start the season, or Michael Penix, you could do that. But if they actually are trying to trade up, which I have to imagine the Raiders, the Broncos, the Vikings are all interested in, then trading probably a mid-round pick for Fields and then having to trade up, like those two things,
it's too much. So what would happen, let's say, sake of argument, we're the front office for the Raiders, right? We're going, You guys, I just found out what it's going to take to trade up with the Chargers. It's outrageous. It's more than what Washington had to do to go up to the then St. Louis Rams. It's not cost effective. Doesn't make that much sense. What if we spent, as you said, a second or third on Justin Fields? Played that out. If it doesn't work, we're, you know, if it does work, how genius are we? If it doesn't work, we didn't give up a million picks to move up for something uncertain.
The Vikings are pretty much the only team in the NFC where you can make the case he could start. They just signed Sam Darnold for $10 million, but are the Bears trading him in the division to a rival in Minnesota? I would say that's unlikely. We'll ask Trevor Sikkema about Fields and, more importantly, about Washington and the number two pick. PFF's draft expert joins us next on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.